The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Now they're going after Flower World? I swear, I've said that I love Flower World. It's a good pre-Mother's Day destination. So I've said nice things about them over the years. I swear they just go after businesses that I've said nice things about. Flower World. Crying out loud. Oh, man. What a show we have for you today. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to the Big Show. Got some stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else, including this. Let's get right to the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
20 years ago, when the battle in Seattle raged, the WTO riots, a lot of people dismissed it as an aberration, just a temporary flare-up. But we knew what was coming. If you've been listening to this show for a long, long time, you've heard us chronicle exactly what was coming to the city as we have descended into madness as a city and as a region. And I've been telling you that Seattle's virus is going to be the entire region's contagion. And we're seeing it now, today. We're seeing it spreading throughout King County. We're going to continue to see it spread throughout Western Washington. And mark my words, I don't know how the votes are going to come out in the primary today, but in November, if Democrats are given a stronger hold of the state house and Senate, and if Jay Inslee is reelected, which I think is probable, what is happening in Seattle will spread throughout the state, and we'll be left with, you know, what neighbors in Snohomish County had to do to protect their neighborhood on Saturday evening. But I have some new information for you today. Like I said, that you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. If people listen to what I'm about to tell you and think, well, that will never happen, let me just say, 20 years ago, legalizing all drugs in King County would have seemed like an impossibility. But that indeed is what has happened. All personal possession amounts of drugs, heroin, meth, the hardest of hard drugs, is now de facto legalized by our King County prosecutor. When a bunch of no youth jail zealots, a group that believes that a 14-year-old who commits murder or rape shouldn't spend one day in jail. One day, not one day. And when the No Youth Jail crowd was taping their arms together inside of PVC pipe and laying in the streets of downtown Seattle a couple of years ago, everyone said, well, that's never going to happen. They're never going to let murderers and rapists go free without any even juvenile jail time. But of course, last week, that's what Dow Constantine proposed. Eliminate the youth jail. Juvenile rapists and murderers would not have to do any jail time at all. Right now, they have to go to juvie. Wouldn't be any of that. No juvenile jail. Now, all of these things, if somebody had said a few years ago, that's an absolute impossibility that we wouldn't jail murderers, that we would close jails so that we don't have a place to hold felons as they await trial, or accused felons as they await trial. And so with that as backdrop, and with that as ample example of how the craziest have actually come to be, how about this? Throughout King County, let me tell you the vision of the King County Department of Public Defense. Now, this is a government-run office. the Public Defender's Office. They are paid by your tax dollars. And they have sent a letter to the King County prosecutor, Dan Satterberg. Now, I'm going to read to you the first paragraph of this letter because it just shows the level of rhetoric that is happening at all levels of government around here these days. Dear Mr. Satterberg, our community demands that we reckon with and dismantle institutional racism, whether it be murders of BIPOC by law enforcement, the traumatizing violence and daily humiliation perpetuated by police against BIPOC, or harms perpetuated against BIPOC by other institutional entities within the criminal punishment system. Along with other prosecutors, you have demanded systemic change and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so what are they asking for? The following are decisions that must and can be made by your office. Hold on to something. I'm not making any of this up. Refuse to file drug charges. All drug charges. A dealer with pounds of cocaine? No. Fine. No drug charges at all. Currently, personal possession amounts of drugs are legal in King County in violation of federal law. Another example of a politician choosing which laws he will abide by and which ones he will ignore. Something that citizens are fined out of existence for professionally. But now the public defenders are calling for, in King County, a refusal to file drug charges. I know. It's crazy. Okay, here's why. Given the harm the war on drugs has caused communities of color, the prosecutor's office should stop filing drug charges. And then they say, at a minimum, you should not file any drug charges resulting from law enforcement practices known to disproportionately target BIPOC. 65% of bi bust arrestees are black. So in other words, an undercover cop buys drugs from a drug dealer. And this is the slippery slope that I knew we were on when we legalized all possession amounts of drugs. I knew the next step had to be, well, next up, we will legalize drugs for the dealers as well. We will turn Seattle and King County into 1980s Bogota, Colombia. That's the goal here. So they say that drug busts target disproportionately people of color. And so we will legalize all drugs, even for the dealers, according to the public defenders that you pay with your tax dollars. And then this is the one that may be even more incredible. The King County prosecutor should decline to file charges for possession of drugs or firearms where law enforcement discovered the drugs or firearms as the result of a traffic stop. So in other words, somebody is speeding. Cop pulls them over for speeding. They see a gun sitting on the passenger seat. The cop figures out that the person cannot legally possess a gun. The gun is stolen, whatever. According to the public defenders in King County, they want that gun to be immune from any prosecution. It's interesting because it's the radical left that is driving all of this, the march to Marxism. And I thought the radical left was anti-gun, but they say that many gun stops disproportionately involve black and Latino adults compared to white pedestrians and motorists. This is from their letter to the prosecutor's office. And there's some other nonsense in this letter as well. But those are the two highlights that you need to know about. A government department, public defenders, is called, and I will tell you that Dan Satterberg's office, while I disagree with it vehemently on legalizing personal possession drugs in the county, they do not in any way, the prosecutor does not in any way support these proposals from the King County Public Defenders Association. So I don't want to taint the prosecutor's office with this. This is on the public defenders. Again, a government agency in King County or a government department where you get to pay tax dollars to a group that is trying to figure out how to flood our county with drugs. And the drug dealers and all criminals, they can have illegal guns. And if that gun is discovered in the course of a traffic stop, they wouldn't be able to file any charges regarding the guns. So what is happening here is yet another step in what we've been telling you about. The Marxist organizations behind all of this, they want to destroy our region from within. Their stated goal is to destroy capitalism, to destroy the police department. And one step toward that goal is to flood King County with drugs, drug gangs, drug dealing, and illegal guns. And anybody who says, well, don't worry, the defenders can ask for anything. It's never going to happen. Yeah, you said the same thing about letting 14-year-old murderers walk free without spending a day in juvie. You said the same thing about they'll never legalize drugs in King County. The crazy keeps happening. And if you are not at least aware of the crazy that is being plotted to take us down, then ignorance is not bliss in this case. It's something that you need to be absolutely aware of. And so, legalize all drugs, even for dealers, and criminals can carry guns. If it's discovered in a traffic stop, it would not be prosecuted. That is the request and the vision of your taxpayer-funded King County Public Defenders. What do you think about all this? You can text me at 98973. I'll post on Twitter. At the bottom of the hour, I'll post the letter from the public defenders to the prosecutor requesting those things. It blows one's mind that we have descended this deep into madness around here. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
And I started to say, I want to hear your thoughts on all of this. I'm going to be checking your texts as well, of course. 98973. That's 98973. Yesterday, we talked to husband and wife who are neighbors of Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best when a bunch of domestic terrorists plotted to go to Carmen Best's house on Saturday night. The neighbors stood up. They rose up. And it was a beautiful thing to hear about. I talked to Whit and Jamie, two of Carmen Best's neighbors, on the show yesterday. And I asked them, you know, what would you do for your neighbor, Police Chief Best? They're up in Snohomish County. What were you, Whit, and your neighbors prepared to do to defend your neighborhood against this crowd?
Defend is the right word, but I think more than anything, we were prepared to remove the terrorists from the area that they were now in. We pushed them back in the sense of asking them questions. Honestly, we asked a lot of questions. They got uncomfortable. They moved back. We then moved barriers in the sense of cars in order to.
Well, and he went on. You can check out the podcast of the interview. It was a really interesting interview, yesterday's noon hour. Well, I now have an update for you on that story. We now have had video and audio of the encounter. And it's really good. The neighbors put their car. They said it's a private road that leads into this neighborhood. So domestic terrorists don't have any right to be there. They blocked the road with their cars, the neighbors did. And then they came out armed. One guy's holding a rifle as they repelled the domestic terrorists from getting to Carmen Best's house.
It's a private drive. Get out of the road.
You're pointing to the
gun.
Peacefully assemble in somebody else's neighborhood.
We are peaceful. You pointed a gun at my face.
Yep.
That's why you're peaceful.
Go.
No.
Okay, that's the line of the year, baby. When he said, "We are peaceful. You're pointing a gun at our face." And the protester yells, the neighbor woman yells, "That's why you're peaceful." That really, it's true.
Stop.
We don't have guns. You're the ones with guns.
Thank you.
Protesters walking and you draw your weapons. That's what happened here.
I have a license for it.
We don't have weapons.
This was public property. Our tax dollars paid for those roads. We have a right to walk there.
We're looking for our friends. We don't care about you guys.
Quit yelling at me.
So, man, we're peaceful. We don't have guns. That's why you're peaceful. I've posted that video on Twitter if you want to check it out. At Dori Monson, DoriMonson. But it's that's the first audio that we've actually gotten of that encounter. And you can see the video at Dori Monson on Twitter. That is your big lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
There was a rally to defend the police over the weekend, and I found out that one of the rally organizers is a high school girl who got pretty brutally bullied for defending the cops. She's going to share her story. I'm going to talk to her next as we get rolling here on the Dori Monson Show. Well, if you're listening to the show last week, we were telling you about the Defend the Police rally, and I talked to one of the rally organizers, but she told me that her daughter really was the one who had been pushing for this, and I'm just going to give the daughter's first name because I don't want to bring any grief upon her, because I understand that daring to support the police in 2020 can create some real bullying and problems. Her name is Jasmine. She joins us here on the Dori Monson Show. Hey, Jasmine, it's great to talk to you today.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me, first of all, why you became passionate and so much so that you wanted to help organize this rally. Why are you so passionate about our cops?
I have multiple family members who were officers in the 90s. And they retired in the early 2000s. So in support of them as well, it's mostly in support of them. But locally, the police department in the city I live in does an excellent job helping the community. They go out of their way to serve and make everyone feel included. So I made a card for them for our support. And I posted it on Instagram. And my classmates came after me and said, "You're racist. Why do you support people who brutalize people of color?" And my friends closest to me know that's not true. And they showed support privately because they didn't want to come out and be doxxed by our other classmates.
Sure. I told your mom, I have three daughters. They're all in their 20s now. And I know what it's like to be a high school kid and what the peer pressure's like. I mean, I remember from when I was a kid, I've lived it through the eyes and experience of my daughters. It's not easy when you know, with just peer pressure. But when peer pressure devolves into bullying, that has to be tremendously challenging for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be a senior at a Seattle area high school this coming school year. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So the whole point of the bullying, the mob tactics, the people who are, you know, doing domestic terrorism on our streets, is to change people's minds. Your life might have less grief if you just went along with the crowd and thought like everybody else. But it sounds like that's not your spirit, is it?
No, not at all.
Tell me why.
Because if you can't speak up about important issues, you won't be able to help people around you speak up for themselves.
And so your classmates, I mean, you see the cops as good people for the most part, who mm-hmm. have done a you know, terrific job in our community. What kind of things are you hearing from your classmates who are so furious at you for supporting the cops? I mean, what specific types of things are they saying about our police?
Well, they're saying that I'm coming from a place of white privilege to support the police because I'm not a minority, which is a false accusation by them. So I'm 75% mixed minority. And so they just say, I have white privilege. I don't know what it's like to be scared of the police when I get pulled over for speeding, and my life never get on the line when I interact with them.
Well, and from talking to your mom, I believe you are first generation in your family in this country. Your mom came from a communist country. Mm-hmm. What these groups want that are marching in the streets, they have made no bones about it. They are Marxists, a form of communism. Mm-hmm. You've had conversations, I'm sure, with your mom about what it was like to grow up in a communist country. They literally want to do that here in this region. So given your family's experience in history, what is your reaction to all of that?
I think it's downright horrifying. I've been to my mom's home country, and it's not a very nice place to be. And I wouldn't want the place that I live and grew up in to turn into that.
I fear that we are. I mean, we're taking steps in that direction, Jasmine, and it, like you, I grew up here in Seattle, and it scares me to death to see what's happening to our city. So what do you think the end game's going to be? Are the voices like yours, which I call the silent majority, because I think most people agree with you and me about our cops that, yeah, we want to get rid of bad cops and we want to take steps to make things better and better every single day, but that the vast majority of cops are good, decent, you know, people who risk their lives for us. I think most people think like you and me, Jasmine, but everyone's afraid to speak out like you do. And that's what we need more of. We need more people like you, Jasmine, in my opinion.
Yeah, we do. Because if people don't start speaking up against the mob, then we'll just go downhill.
Are you still getting bullied from your classmates?
Not right as of right now. I still haven't posted the pictures from the rally that I started, and so I was going to wait until the one on Sunday that's sponsored by the Seattle Police Officer Guild
yes.
is over to post pictures from both of them, and we will see what happens with them.
Just last thing, this popped in my head. Schools are obsessed with anti-bullying messages. Does the school do or say anything when somebody gets bullied for defending the cops?
My mom reported it to the school principal, and she said that's horrible and shouldn't happen to anybody, no matter what their opinion is, and affirmed her support for me and my family and said, if it continues to happen, let me know and I'll take care of it.
Might they expel the kids who direct hate at you?
Probably not, because their families are very well connected to the district board.
Wow. Speaking of privilege, huh? They accuse you of privilege? Sounds like they have a little privilege themselves.
Indeed.
Well, I admire you, Jasmine. It is tough to be a free-thinking high school kid these days. It's really, really tough. And I really admire that you are willing to say what you believe and not let your mind be taken over by people who want to take it over via force. So well done with setting up that rally last weekend, and let's stay in touch, okay?
All right.
Okay, good talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Jasmine, Seattle High School kid who's been the victim of intense bullying from classmates because she wanted to support and defend our cops. And by the way, parents, if you have one of those kids that does that, that bullies others, you better take a good, long, hard look in the mirror at you as a parent. And sometimes great parents have bad kids. But this is the mob. And sadly, this is the vast majority of kids in our high schools. They are demanding conformity of thought. They are ruthless to anybody who dissents. And if that's your kid who's ruthless about these things, you better not hold him up with some sort of pride. Oh, my Jamie is so woke. It's disgraceful. Okay, coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show, we're getting sued. We, the taxpayers, by the rioters for an absolutely hilarious reason. And I will tell you what it is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. You and I are getting sued. Because anytime the taxpayers get sued, we're the ones who have to pay it. And a lawsuit has been filed in U.S. District Court here in Seattle, alleging that protesters in the Black Lives Matter movement, according to the Seattle Times, protesters in the Black Lives Matter movement are being priced out of their civil rights by the cost of protective clothing that they want to wear when violence has broken out during the rioting. So it's five people. Sounds like it's five women from their first names. Although, my name's Dory. I can't assume anything about gender and names. But the five people say that they are victims of indiscriminate police violence during the protests on Capitol Hill on June 25th. And they said that it is now impossible for them to exercise their right to gather and protest without personal protective gear, which they say is not cheap. According to the lawsuit, quote, because protesters now must purchase expensive equipment to be assured that they will be able to protest safely, the indiscriminate use of weapons by SPD implicates equal protection. And they say that their necessity to wear protective gear has become a tax on protesting. Now, we have so many crazy activist judges who have declared with fist raised, I am resistance in a robe, that this lawsuit could actually get a hearing. Nicole talked to the attorney for the five plaintiffs. I'm trying to get any of them or the attorney to come on this show with me to explain. This would be another way to live your life. You go down, you peacefully protest. If your fellow protesters turn into rioters and are smashing windows and setting fires, and the police give an order to disperse, and you choose to stay in the midst of the mob when the police have, within policy, told the mob that they have to move along, and then the police because nobody follows their within policy order. The police have to use some other means to get rid of the mob. That's on you. But they're saying that they need to have boots and flak jackets, and that's all too expensive. And so they want you and me to pay for it, for their gear when they get caught up in the mess in the middle of the riots. Every day I see these stories and I think, can we descend to yet another level of crazy? Or have we hit rock bottom yet? And with each passing day, I find out, no, we're not there yet. It just might be that crazy is a bottomless pit when dealing with this region. So I hope if you're working, if you're among the fortunate who still have jobs, I hope that you don't mind an attempt to get some of your hard-earned earnings so you can fit protesters with protective gear. It just keeps going. And so do we. The Fast 15 is coming up next.